Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Good morning, Andrea Bernstein in for Brian Lehrer. If you thought your family's New York City apartment is cramped, try sharing a bathroom with 26 siblings. That's the challenge faced by the children of Joe, Alina, Vicky, and Valerie Darger, independent fundamentalist Mormons who are members of a four-person plural marriage. The main body of the Church of Jesus Christ of the Latter-day Saints outlawed polygamy in 1890, but the practice continues among fundamentalist Mormon sects. And as part of an advocacy campaign to destigmatize plural marriages, the Dargers have decided to publicly tell their story in a new book. It's called Love Times Three, Our True Story of a Polygamous Marriage. I have Joe, Alina, and Valerie Darger here in studio. Welcome to WNYC.
Hi, Andrea.
Hi, thank you.
I want to start by making a distinction. You are independent fundamentalist Mormons, which is different from the Fundamentalist Church of Jesus Christ of the Latter-day Saints, or FLDS. So people have heard of the FLDS from the headlines, in particular the 2008 raid of the compound in El Dorado, Texas, run by Warren Jeffs. Jeffs and other men from that group were convicted of sexual assault of children, as several of them took wives much younger than 18. But it's important to note that you, all of you here, have entered into a polygamous marriage as adults, not children. Can you make some other distinctions for our listeners?
Well, for one, we have nothing, you know, we don't condone underage marriage. We're a lot more integrated and, you know, probably modern in appearance, it would be described as. And that certainly has some of the same traditions and similar beliefs, but we're very different. There's a very different belief structure in many other ways as far as how we integrate with society and how we believe in free agency and choice.
And what we show in the book is that it's a very
diverse
culture.
And this is, just to be clear, this is Valerie.
This is Valerie, yes. What we try to portray in the book is that it's a very diverse culture, the fundamentalist Mormons. There are many different people living this way and may all be different but the same in believing in plural marriage.
This is Alina. Right. And one thing that is different is, as independent fundamentalist Mormons, we don't belong to any church or group. So we live our lives based on our faith and our belief and our traditions. So that's a little bit different.
So let me ask you both, Alina and Valerie, why, you know, did you decide that you wanted to enter into a marriage of this nature?
Well, this is Alina. For me, first off, when I was raised in a plural family, and it was just a really great experience for me, and I had two mothers, and I looked up to both of them and really enjoyed a lot of things in my childhood. And then as I got older, of course, I had the option. I could choose whether I wanted to have a monogamous marriage or a plural marriage, but as I read about it and I studied about it and combining the tradition and the beliefs, I really believed it was right for me.
And Valerie?
A lot the same as Alina. And culturally, it was a very natural choice. So, it didn't seem strange. But also, as a young adult, realizing that there were going to be some challenges, you know, it was not a decision to take lightly. So there's a lot of searching yourself and asking yourself if you can do it. And we go into a lot of that in Love Times 3, you know, where our search took us and how we came to it. And so ultimately, it brought me to this wonderful family.
Now, you know that there are people out there listening who are sort of saying, like, you know, what's in it for you? And that's so, you know, unfair that, you know, there are three wives in your family and just one husband. So what would you say to them? What is in it for you?
Yeah, I guess they would say that. But I find it so fulfilling, and it has made me such a better person, a stronger person, and have a greater capacity to love than I think I maybe would have experienced otherwise. And I'm a person that came out of another plural marriage that was unsuccessful. And there was no need to escape. I just said, this isn't working, this isn't a good place for me, and there were some things very wrong. And
so this is your second plural
so
marriage.
So this is, you know, I chose willingly to do it again. So finding that fulfillment and understanding that I still learned some things and that I had more to learn and grow, and just had having a large, wonderful, loving family around me.
And Joe, was there any question for you that this was the way you wanted to live your life?
Yeah, big questions. You know, one of the myths that exist is that it's just so appealing to all the males, and yet very few of the men actually from our culture choose to live this way. Because it, like a lot of males when it comes to marriage, it's, you know, it's a commitment, but this is a commitment
Times three.
it's a huge commitment. So this wasn't a foregone thing that I would just, you know, get to an age and one that I'd be fortunate enough to find, you know, more than one wife. I mean, I'm just happy that, you know, a bald guy like me has one woman. That,
so. What's the downside for you?
Well, the downside is it certainly is. Is very challenging as far as the resources it takes. You know, it's a huge commitment financially, emotionally, and so you know you're constantly pushed to the envelope of what you can do with your time and your resources.
212-433-WNYC is the phone number. 212-433-9692. Andrea Bernstein in for Brian Lehrer. And I am speaking with Joe Darger and Alina and Valerie Darger about their book, Love Times Three, Our True Story of a Polygamous Marriage. Call us with your questions or comments, 212-433-9692. And Alina, you know, there's been some, you know, discussion. I mean, there's been a lot of discussion in New York about marriage equality. As you know, gay marriage just passed here, making New York the largest state to allow gay marriages. And I'm wondering if you see any connections between, you know, endorsing or supporting plural marriages and endorsing or supporting gay marriages.
Well, and it is interesting. I feel like the connection, and certainly knowing the discrimination, you know, against being able to love who you want to love. And for us, the issue is just a little bit different because we're asking for decriminalization versus legalization. And because right now, the way we choose to live, our lifestyle is a felony. And so we want to make the step for decriminalization.
And what about the, you know, there's two Mormons running for president on the Republican Party line. Both of them have pretty much distanced themselves from endorsing polygamy. How does it feel to come out, you know, I guess, and Valerie, I'll ask you this, to sort of come out for the, you know, to write this book and, you know, have this public book tour at the same time that that is happening?
Who knew, right? We had no idea that we would be running when we started this whole process. And we're, you know, while we're not hugely political, you know, we just wish them the best. And it's a great time for us to be coming out, giving just how society is now more willing to accept it and be open to that.
All right, let's take a call. And Alina, you could take this because I think it relates to what you were just talking about. Roy from Kearney, New Jersey. Hi, you're on WNYC.
Thank you for taking my call. Yes. My concern was the whole process of polygamous. First of all, I support it with some restrictions, of course. Mm-hmm. And I guess my question is, in this society where Social Security benefits goes to generally the children or the spouse, how would that fare in a polygamous situation within the confines of this fate?
All right, Alina, do you want to take that?
Sure. And that is a really good question because only one wife is allowed to have legal status, and that happens to be me. So Social Security benefits would generally go to me and my children. And so that is one of the issues. And now there are different laws in different states regarding common law and, you know, who is the parent and things like that. So it would all have to be sorted out. But that is always a difficult question.
And do you have any legal documents that you've written up about sort of, you know, wills and, you know, because obviously if marriage laws are applied, certain people, you know, not just Social Security, but a whole host of benefits accrue. Yeah.
Definitely.
We've had to set up like a trust where we can address some of that within our family and do it as a trust and an estate that way so that all the women would have equal access to the benefits. And that's how we have to do it.
And we're definitely a family, and we would love, you know, if anything ever happened, we want everyone to be taken care of.
Let's take another call. Abdul from Floral Park. Hi, you're on WNYC. Abdul? Do we have Abdul? No, I think we have lost Abdul. But let's take a call from Betty from Manhattan. Hi, Betty. You're on WNYC.
Yeah, hi. I'm just curious about the women's relationship to the world beyond the home. I'm not sure whether work is encouraged, and for young women growing up in this world, having role models of women who are participating in the workforce and joining the 21st century and making a difference in joining politics and business and the entertainment industry. Are these women conscious of that, encouraging of that? How do their women provide that sense of growth and movement forward in their community?
All right. You want to take that, Valerie?
Yes, definitely. That's a very good question. And, you know, for one, I think there's a stereotype. Our children all attend public schools for the most part. And at one point or another, all of the wives, the three of us wives, have had a job outside of the home, and we have ample time and opportunity to do that. We've also worked with community services, and our children have seen all this. And we also, our sons and our daughters, we have some up-and-coming musicians, and we certainly want to see them have every opportunity afforded to them to follow their dreams.
Well, I might add, Valerie owns her own business right now. She works full-time outside of the home and has 9 kids. I mean, she does that because she has some built-in babysitters. And so I look at it as these women have had opportunities to fulfill both roles in a way that is much wider in a scope than they otherwise would have.
Joe, we've got a lot of callers and people writing into our Facebook page saying, okay, if it's okay to have multiple wives, is it okay to have a situation where you have one wife and multiple husbands?
I think it should be okay for anyone to structure their family and their living arrangements the way they see best fit for them. For our value system and the way we structured, that's not how we choose to do that. But we certainly wouldn't want to step in the way of anyone if they felt that was what worked for them.
And listeners, I know a lot of you called in to ask about that. I'm wondering if you know anybody who is in a situation like that. You never know with Brian Lehrer listeners. 212-433-9692, 212-WNYC, Beryl in Manhattan. Hi, you're on WNYC.
Hi. I've spent a fair amount of time in West Africa, and there were two families that I was very close to that were both polygamous, and in one the wives seemed to really share and the children shared, and the other family, when the second wife came along, the children of the first wife received short shrift, and their education was cut off, and, you know, I didn't even understand the degree to it at the time, but then I saw one of the children as an adult, and she was really bitter, feeling that, you know, when the new wife came, that her siblings really weren't treated fairly, so I guess that could be an issue here, too.
Valerie, you're nodding your head. You wanted to respond to Beryl?
Well, there are a lot of dynamics, but I joined this family with 5 children in tow, which is amazing in itself, and it was an adjustment for all of us. But now, you know, ultimately, in the end, what we've created is one large, loving family in one household where everybody, you know, is treated fairly equally. And
so, what's bad? Any of you have any complaints?
Yeah, getting to the laundry—that's a bad part.
Any of you? I mean, any other sort of other aside from, like, you know, getting to the, you guys? I'm sure there's got to be some teenage girls in there, you know, and sort of getting to the bathroom can always be a difficult thing. But, you know, other than the sort of, you know, kind of common issues of large families, is there anything that you think, gosh, if there's one thing I could change, this is what it would be? Valerie, you want to address that?
Well, really, it would be to just be able to be open and honest in public and about my lifestyle and be able to walk down the street, you know, hand in hand with my husband.
Well, how do you, you know, live your lives? I mean, do your neighbors, are people, you know, and what about the school officials? You said, you know, your children in public school. I mean, how do you handle that?
I know we talk about that in Love Times 3, too, some of the experiences we've had with that. And it can be challenging.
Are you open to the school teachers, for example, or do they sort of not really know about what your arrangement is?
Well, people are astute and they figure things out. And so now we've found that it's best to be open. But now when you have a book, then you obviously can't hide anymore.
We've also, both Joe and I have served on the community councils for the school, gone down and got to know the principals and several of the teachers because we like to know what's going on with our children. And we like them to kind of know, hey, this is, you know, this is how we live and please respect it.
Do you, you know, any, you know, when you sort of go in and you say, I have 24 children, it's 24, right?
Uh-huh.
What kind of response do you get to that?
Well, there's usually a little groundwork laid before, you know, and just kind of let them know. And people are usually pretty surprised by how we manage it and how we come together as a family and give each other the support.
I find people have a harder time with the fact that we have the children than that I have three wives. And in fact, if they were mistresses and it was about this concept that this is about sex, it's easier for people to get around some kind of a Hugh Hefner stereotype. And yet that we have family and I call them wives and we have children is a little harder for people to grasp. And I think logistically it is for anyone. And, you know, somebody has four kids, they're like overwhelmed. So we relate to that. It can be an overwhelming thing, but for us, it's about the love and this environment we've created that we find fulfilling in our lives.
All right, and I think we are going to have to leave it there. Thank you so much to my guests, Joe Darger, Alina Darger, and Valerie Darger, the authors, with Vicki Darger and Brooke Adams of Love Times 3, Our True Story of a Polygamous Marriage. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having us.
When we come back, we'll continue to talk about parenting and whether testosterone levels dropping is to make you a better dad after this.